Wait, was it recording?
I think you hit record. Good. Thank you. Good evening. Welcome to our Wednesday evening service, 29 April 2020, during the lockdown, as we continue our journey through the Gospel of John. Tonight we finish chapter 6, and as you know, chapter 6 has primarily been Jesus' discourse on being the bread of life. And tonight we see the disciples' response to that, many of the disciples, and then also their beautiful declaration about Jesus Christ having the answers. So we'll look tonight at verses 60 through 71 of John chapter 6, and we'll pray, and we'll get started and look through this together. So beginning in verse 60, the Bible says, "Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, 'This is an hard saying, who can hear it?' When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, 'Doth this offend you? What an if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come to me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back, and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. So the title of our message tonight is We Believe and Are Sure. Lord, I pray that you would use your word now in our hearts to teach us. I pray for your wisdom, and I pray that the Holy Spirit would guide us and grow us through this time in your precious word. Thank you for it. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we see this discourse on the bread of life, a lot of the people struggled with it because, again, they were trying to take something that was spiritual and make it literal, which when he talked about eating my flesh and drinking my blood, they had a hard time understanding what he was saying. And we talked about this last week, but as we see here, there are many hard truths in Christianity, many things that we have to have help from the Holy Spirit to understand. But they said there in verse 60, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And rather than get it explained by Jesus or trying to better understand it, many of them walked away, which is very sad. But what I find fascinating is that Jesus Christ truly reveals in this passage the free will that he gave to man, because he did not beg the disciples to stay. Instead, he actually asked them if they would also leave, his 12. So in verse 61, he says, does this offend you? After they murmured, well, the truth of God's word shouldn't offend us, but it still goes on today even, doesn't it? The Bible says the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. People don't want to hear about hell. They don't want to hear about sin and the consequences of sin. But the Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So Jesus said here, does this offend you? Do these truths offend you? And then he says in verse 62, what if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? He says, you must believe in the resurrection. That's important. And then in verse 63, he reminds us that these truths that he was sharing about the flesh and the blood were spiritual. He says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. In other words, I'm not talking about eating literal flesh and drinking literal blood. That doesn't help you spiritually. That would just be a temporary thing anyway. He says, I'm talking about spiritual things. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. So his discourse on the bread of life was spiritual, just like his discourse on the new birth, when he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, can a man be enter into his mother's womb and be born a second time? He was saying, should I take this literally? And Jesus said, no. that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So you must take this as what it is, and that is a spiritual discourse. But they weren't willing to listen. Verse 64, but there are some of you that believe not. That's always going to be the case. There's always going to be people who claim to be Christians, but they don't truly believe. And even in the Apostle Paul's ministry, in Acts chapter 28, verse 24, it says, some believe the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And that's always going to be the case. Some will believe, and some will not believe. And it's going to come down to that truth. Do we know Jesus? Does he know us? Have we trusted him? Go to Matthew 7, if you would, verse 22, where we see the judgment seat of Jesus Christ here in verse 22. It says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we've not prophesied in thy name, and thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. If Jesus doesn't know us personally, if we aren't his children, it doesn't matter what we offer up, because there's nothing to offer up. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So Jesus here in verse 65 or 64 said that he knew there would be some who wouldn't believe. He knew there would be some that would betray him. And he reminds them in verse 65, he says, I already said unto you, no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. You should be praising God right now that God allowed you an opportunity to hear the gospel and you believed it and you were born again. Because it came from God. And as we saw in verse 44 in the same chapter, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Hallelujah. If you're listening and you're not born again, is God calling you to be saved? Is God drawing you? Because the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to be saved. Don't reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't reject the Son. Accept what he did for you on Calvary and be born again. So verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Isn't this amazing? This is Jesus Christ. This is God in the flesh, the Son of God preaching and telling the truth. And because the truth was hard for them to get their heads around, rather than get it explained and rather than grasp the spiritual meaning, many of the disciples left Jesus Christ. And we're not talking about the 12, but we're talking about there were many disciples traveling and listening and following Christ, but many chose, as it says, to go back. Now, if you go to Hebrews 10, the Apostle Paul talked about Christians, or professing Christians, I should say, who go back. And it's a shame when this happens, when people claim to be Christians and yet they go back. Hebrews chapter 10, look down in verse 39. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. These are people who claim to be Christians, but something comes along. Maybe it's too hard to follow Christ. Maybe a trial's too hard, whatever, and they choose to go back. They choose to draw back from the Lord. And this is what happened. These people were professing disciples, but they weren't true disciples. They went back. Now, at this point, Jesus could have turned to the 12, and he could have said, please stay. I need you. But that's not how Jesus works. Jesus gave them an out. And I want you to think about that, because again, God gave us a free will. We choose whether or not to trust him as our Savior. We choose whether or not to believe the Bible is true, whether or not to believe we have a Creator. The Bible says that when we get to heaven, Romans chapter 1, verse 20, we will be without excuse, that we have within us an innate knowledge that there is a Creator and that we need to answer to him someday. We can choose to accept or reject that truth. And if we choose to reject it, we will be without excuse. And so he turns to them, will you also go away? These are his 12. These are the ones that he specifically called by name. He turns to them after all these other disciples walked away over the discourse on the bread of life. And he says to them, will you also go away? Or are you going to stay with me? He offered them a way out. God does not force us to serve him. God does not force us to get saved. God offers us the opportunity to be saved, and he offers us the opportunity to serve him, and then we choose. And you know, Jesus said in Luke 14, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Will you also go away, or are you going to stay with me? And then the heart of our message tonight, Peter, verse 68, Lord, to whom shall we go? Isn't that good? That's the right answer. To whom shall we go, Lord? Jesus claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life. He either is or he isn't. And my friend, there's no one else to go to for the right answers. There's no one else to go through. He's not just, doesn't just give us truth. He is the truth. He is the way to heaven, not one of the ways. He is the way to heaven. He is the only one who gives life. He is life. He's not one of the sources of life. He is the only source of life. To whom shall we go? What a great thing to say. And we should all be recognizing, to whom shall we go? There's no one else to go to but Jesus. There's many other teachers out there. There's many other doctrines. There's many other people. Many people choose to go to their friends, go to their relatives, go to the world, you know, go to the talk shows, offer up works, go to the cults, offer up their sincerity, go after the New Age religions and ideas and traditions. None of those things are going to get you anywhere. To whom shall we go? That is what we should be saying. Jesus, there's no one else but you. You're the one we should go to. And then I like what he said in verse 68. Thou hast the words of eternal life. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Thou hast the words of eternal life. Lord, to whom shall we go? There is no one else to go to. You are the answer. And then you have the words of eternal life in verse 69. And we believe and are sure. My friend, this is where we should all be. We believe and we are sure. We believe Jesus is the way and we are sure about our salvation. If you're not sure about your salvation, get sure. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, if you would, in verse 12. Verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Because when you have this assurance, when you're sure, it leads to security. And when you have security, then you're ready to serve. So many Christians out there, they don't have this grounding in the Word of God and in doctrine. They don't have this grounding in their eternal security. And so they're always wondering, am I saved today? Am I not saved? No, you need to believe and you need to be sure. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. We were sealed by the Holy Ghost, chapter 4, verse 30, until the day of redemption. That is the down payment, the earnest of God's promise that He will come and take us to heaven one day. That's assurance. We believe and we are sure. Paul said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, if you turn over there, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, he said, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Make sure you're saved. Make sure you've believed the gospel of Jesus Christ and you have placed your faith and trust in Him alone as your only hope for eternity. Make sure. You should be able to say, I believe and I'm sure. There's no question God has saved me. I believe it and I'm sure. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Has God changed your life? Are you a different creature? Are you sure? You should be able to say, I believe and I'm sure. And you know, we as Christians, we should be able to say, I'm not only sure that I'm saved, but I'm sure that I'm secure. I'm sure that I am secure in Jesus Christ. So if you haven't, just think about all the different ways that we are secure. You know, take for example the fact that we have eternal life. How long is that? You know, when we're born again, we have eternal life, which means we can't lose it. Jesus said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. When we're saved, we become children of God. The Bible says we have been made the sons of God. Think about that. We are children of God. Does that mean that you can be unchilded? Of course not. You were born through Jesus Christ. You are a new creature. You're a child of God. You're secure. But the Bible says in Colossians 2:13, He hath forgiven you all trespasses. That's every sin was forgiven the day you were saved. All future sins forgiven. So what sin could you commit to cause you to lose your salvation? That's impossible. It's forgiven. All sins have been forgiven. The Bible says we're sealed unto the day of redemption. Does that mean you have the power to break God's seal? Does that mean the devil has the power to break God's seal? No. The Bible says we're kept by the power of God. Paul said, I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. We don't have the power to keep our salvation, but God does. And we're told that we're kept by his power. We're told in Jude 1 that we are preserved in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And remember who our intercessor is. It's Jesus. He intercedes for us in heaven. Is his intercession sufficient? Of course it is. And as Paul said, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Neither height nor depth nor angels or principalities nor any other creature shall be to separate us from the love of God. We can't be separated. So we are secure in Jesus Christ. And we like Peter, should be able to say, Lord, I believe and I'm sure that you have the words of eternal life. I believe that and am sure that you are the answer, that you are the way, the truth, and the life, that you are that bread of life, and I've feasted on that bread, and I've partaken of the payment of the blood of Jesus Christ, and I believe and I'm sure. We should be able to say that like Peter, to declare it and say, I am sure that, verse 69, thou art that Christ. Isn't that good? The Son of the living God. Thou art the answer. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Turn over there. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no salvation in any other. We believe and are sure that we have found the way. We have found the true salvation in Jesus Christ, the only one who had the power to save us through his death and burial and resurrection. You know, our lives should be a reflection of this assurance. It's one thing to declare it and say, I believe and I'm sure. It's another thing to say, I am so sure that I'm going to get out there and serve God. I'm going to please the Lord. I'm going to honor him with my life. I believe and I'm sure. We should be able to say that, like Peter, without question. And if you don't have that assurance of your salvation, get it. You know, John, when he was writing in the epistle, he said, we know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. I know God's saved because I'm changed. I'm a different creature. If you don't have that assurance, then talk to somebody and get the assurance from God's word. And it's the same with your eternal security. If you don't have the assurance that no matter what, you cannot lose your salvation, then get it. Because, my friend, if you're saved, you can't be unsaved. And you should be able to say, I believe and I'm sure of this. And yeah, there's a couple of verses that people take out of context to try to prove you can lose your salvation. Let me tell you, there's hundreds of verses that prove that you cannot lose your salvation. We can't. We are secure. So we, like Peter, should be able to say, Lord, yes, I see people falling away. I see people getting upset with the truths of God's word. I see people trying to teach false doctrines. But I believe that you have the words of eternal life. And I believe and I'm sure that you are the only way, that you art that Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the answer. You're the one. You are the one that I should be coming to for everything. And we should all be able to say that. We believe and we're sure. I hope you can say, I believe. I've believed on Jesus Christ as my Savior. Jesus said, he that believeth in me shall have everlasting life. John 6:47. Do you believe that? Do you know that's happened for you? Do you know you have eternal, everlasting life and that you'll never die, as he said in John 11:26? And do you believe that you cannot lose your salvation? I hope so. And if you don't, you need to get that settled. We believe and are sure. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for this beautiful truth, this beautiful declaration from the Apostle Peter. Thank you that his 12 stuck with him when the others departed. I pray that we'll be like those 12 and say, Lord, I believe and I'm sure that you are the answer. You are the one, that you've given me salvation, that I'm secure and safe in Jesus Christ. I pray this will be real for every one of us, Lord. If there's someone listening that's not sure they're saved, may they make that journey and find Jesus Christ through the gospel and be saved. And Lord, if there's a Christian out there that's doubting, may they get those doubts removed through the truths of your word. And we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Good night.